In this session, we will study the Shobo Genzo. The title, The Moon. Dogen Zenji, is not talking about the moon in terms of romanticism or sentimentalism or scientific view on the moon, but about the moon, about the real truths through the moon. So the view on the moon by Dogen is quite different from usual views on the moon. So it is very interesting chapter. I want to go through because even though because I want you to see what is something deep of human existence through this chapter in relation with the moon. Even though you don't understand the word, I think I would like to go through whole chapter, passage after passage. I think sometimes it will be difficult for you to understand, but you should know, you should understand, you should touch something. The most important point, what the Dogen Zenji want to say through the moon. So, as conclusion, in this chapter, Dogen Zenji mentions the oneness, the we are, the oneness or the truth that all sentient beings are Buddha. So, let's read the first paragraph. The full actualization of all moons is not limited to before 3-3 or after 3-3. All moons of full actualization are not limited to before 3-3 or after 3-3. Before 3-3 or after 3-3 means boundlessness, inexhaustibility, eternity, no limitation. That means that is the meaning of before 3-3 or after 3-3, or it's not, this number number is not important. So maybe you can say before 6-6, after 6-6, or you can say before 10-10 or after 10-10. Anyway, it means eternity or boundlessness or inexhaustibility. So full function of all moons, in this case the moons are plural, but actually the moon is one. But here says the all moons plurals. So the full actualization of all moons. Actualization has two meanings. One is a process, and second is a reality. You can see, you can touch. So if you use actualization, you have to see the process or function or working. You have to see this, and also simultaneously it is reality, it is a fact. So full actualization of all moon in all moons means the process of the moon. Process of the moon means the moon is always moving. Half moons and new moons and crescent moons, full moons, many moons. So I think all actualization, the full actualization of all moons means the process or the functioning of the moon. So many moons there. The moon, the crescent moons, half moons, and the new moons, and the full moons, or sometimes no moons. But whatever you can see in the sky about the moon, the moon is always moving and functioning and working all the time. Even though you cannot see the moon, it doesn't mean the moon disappears. So from this point, if you see the moon, you have to see the moon. You have to see the something deep behind moon or through the moons. Always the moon is always moving beyond your senses, beyond your perceptions, six senses. Anyway, the moon exists constantly, always, and functioning. So that's why here says the full actualization. The original term is complete becoming. From moment to moment, process of the moon is complete. So crescent moon is perfect as a crescent moons. In no sense of comparison with full moon or no moon or new moon, etc. So that is the functioning of the moon, or working of the moon, process of the moon. So the moon appears in many ways. So there are lots of moons, many moons, from moment to moment. Moons appears in many ways. Just like Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattvas. Avalokite Bodhisattva appears as a boy when she sees a boy. Avalokiteshvara appears as a man when seeing the man. When Avalokiteshvara sees as a wind, she becomes, anyway, the wind. So, in many ways, Avalokiteshvara appears and helping and working hand in hand. So, same applies to the moon. So, but through the six senses, our six senses, we always discriminate moons. Between full moon or crescent moons or no moons. But it is not true, it is not right view on the moon. So that's why he says the full function of the moons is not limited to before 3-3 or after 3-3. So this function of the moons, many moons, the function or the process of the many moons is never limited by any concept, perception, so-called eternity or boundlessness. Even though you say boundlessness, it is already concept. So, real function or process of the moon beyond your perceptions is never limited by any perceptions, any word, eternity, or whatever you say, boundlessness. So, that's why he says, not limited to before 3-3. Before 3-3, I mentioned eternity or inexhaustibility. But if you express eternity in a word, so-called eternity, at that time, true eternity is limited by our concept, so-called eternity. So eternity is something, eternity is never measured by perception or concept or our speculations. So that's why he says, not limited to before 3-3 or after 3-3. All moons of full actualization are not limited to before 3-3 or after 3-3. All moons of full actualization. Here, this term is completely reversed. In previous sentence, he says the full actualization of the moons. But now he uses all moons of full actualization. I think this is also very important because even though you understand the moon is constantly working fully beyond the concept of before 3-3, after 3-3, beyond any conceptions, any perceptions. But still it is the view in terms of the moon as a subject. So I think you should see the moon in terms of the function or process itself. And then, flame of the moon is dissipated right in the middle of the process or functioning itself. For instance, if you really act fully, or if you play football exactly, I think you can see the two ways. One is full actualization of a football game. But on the other hand, football game of full actualization, full function, you can say, but when you see the football game in terms of a football game as a subject, or in other words, if you see all this football game well, in terms of your view, at that time, it is the dualistic attitude of seeing objects, seeing the world. So, while you are seeing the world objectively, you never be free from subject, frame of a subject, or concept of subject. So you finally you cannot move an inch within the subject. Who sees constantly its object? So finally, what you want to do is to play the football exactly without creating any space between the football game and you. For this, the frame of your five scanners, frame of your consciousness must be dissipated. How? Where? Would it be possible for the frame of consciousness dissipated in the conception, in the sphere of conceptions? No. Would it be possible for us to dissipate frame of five scandals, your bodies, in spirituality? No. But only you can, it will be possible for you to dissipate the frame of your body, frame of your consciousness in the sphere of practice in action. So if you participate in action vividly, naturally, you can forget frame of your body, frame of your five scandals. Because consciousness never catch up the full function, full actions you participate in from moment to moment. It never catch up, it never get it. Much as your body. So your body is really something process. You raise a football game, at that time your body is completely no frame. And then you can play exactly with wholeheartedness. This is called concentration or samadhi, we say. So if you want to really understand the meaning of the football game, other sports as a human life, because you participate in the football game, whatever you put a name on it, sports or the way of human life, whatever you say, you participate. You as a human being participate in the football game. So you have to understand what the football game is. In order to understand the deeply football game, I think you shouldn't see the football game always, you know, the objectively. So you have to participate in practically football game. Just like a Doan task, you can see what the Doan task is objectively, because you can have opportunity to see the Doan task if you participate in session or this practice anyway. But that understanding is not good enough. So you have to participate in the Doan task practically, and then you can learn a lot from real participation. In other words, you have to see the Doan task from process of Doan task, not only the seeing Doan task from a Doan task. You have to see Doan task from full function, the full process. What is it? This is real participation, actual practical participation in Dōen task. Means you have to be one with the Dōen task, and then you can learn what the Dōen task means, or you can learn human life, because you can learn lots more than intellectual understanding of Dōen task you did. So you can learn how your consciousness, your understanding is narrow, how narrow your understanding was. So if you really participate practically, whatever it is, you can learn your consciousness, your bodies, your knowledge. What is the limitation of the human knowledge? What is the limitation of your understanding? How narrow your knowledge is? How narrow your view is? Because you really face confusions when you participate in Dōen task practically. Even though you understand it completely intellectually through the information, through the guidance. But if you participate in Dōen task practically, still you are confused. There are lots of things you don't know. So, that's why through the oneness between the Dōen task and you, or football game and you, you can learn the real meaning of football game and also real meaning of human life is. So that's why Dōgen Zenji mentioned here, like this. First, he says, the full actualization of all moons. Next, the all moons of full actualization. So you have to see the all moons which are always functioning from moment to moment should be seen in terms of its own process, not only concept. So that is Dōgen Zenji, that's why Dōgen Zenji reversed the term, expression would be reversed completely. If I know Karagiri pretty well, I have to see Karagiri in terms of Karagiri, okay? Because I know who I am pretty well. But it's not good enough, because many beings exist around me, so I have to understand myself in terms of all of you. Nature, wind, storms, all of you, cushions, floors, vendors. But usually, what is your pattern of understanding? What kind of pattern you have when you try to understand who you are? Or whatever you try to understand, you always bring up yourself first and try to understand. That is egoistic, very egoistic. Always you come first. This is a very usual pattern of understanding of the existence. That's why we have to anyway go beyond this one. In order to go beyond this, anyway, you have to see yourself in terms of predicate, means all sentient beings who exist around you. Then you are your frame, the frame of the five skandhas are melted away into other life, nature.
For instance, if you come here and always seeing the this nature, if you have, while you have desire or ambition to try to understand what this nature is, there should very clearly be first your existence. You come first. So all this nature is seeing from you constantly. And that time you never be one with the nature. So you have to practice egolessness. But you love this nature very much. That's why it will be very easier to practice egolessness. So you just stand up without thinking anything. That means you are seeing simultaneously from the nature. That's why you can practice egolessness. The flame of your five skandhas is melted away into the rhythm of nature, flow of energy of nature, naturally. And then the oneness occurs in your life. That is first taste of what nature is. So that is because why we have to do this, because nature and you, football and you, and also karate and you, you and Big Bell, you and this Zendo, all are Buddha, anyway one. No limitation between. So not only understanding of oneness intellectually, but also you have to taste it with your body and mind, oneness, which you and all sentient beings are Buddha. I think in Zen Kaisho, precept in Zen, the Bodhidharma mentions about the tenth precept called abstain from denouncing the triple treasure. Bodhidharma mentioned to expound the Dharma with this body is foremost. Its virtue returns to the ocean of reality. It is unfathomable. Just bow and serve. To expound the Dharma with this body is foremost. The Dharma means the principle of existence. When you realize the principle of existence, it is called wisdom. Wisdom is a cognitive quality of, or to say, enlightened person. This is a wisdom. Wisdom is cognitive quality of enlightened person who touches the depth of existence. Okay? If you touch this depth of existence, you are called the Buddha. What is the quality of Buddha's experience? That is wisdom. Wisdom is a Buddha's cognitive quality. Because his cognition is quite different from ordinary people. That's why this is called Buddha is simultaneously the wisdom. Buddha means a person, an enlightened person who realize wisdom of the truth. Wisdom of the Dharma. Okay? So Dharma is a principle of existence. When you realize it, you are called Buddha. When your quality of experience as a Buddha is called wisdom. So wisdom is your cognitive quality, communicating deeply between you and whole universe, so-called Buddha. Okay? And that is called the Dharma. We say Dharma. But Dharma is no sense that they're based on the no sense of substance. Because Dhamma is produced by interdependence on each other. In other words, there is a something big cause. World is based on the rhythm of the cause and effect. But this cause and effect is something more than your speculation, you more than your understanding. So why you are born as a maggot, you don't know. But without cause, you cannot be born in this world as a maggot. So there is a cause, but that cause is something more than your understanding. So there is a huge scale of the cause there. They related with the past, present, and future, beyond time and space. This is a cause. That cause is kind of energy in action, which has no taste, no flavors, no taste, no form, no marks. But it exists. It exists with us. And also it is one. But it is the whole. It is one, but simultaneously it is the whole. Because big scale of the cause. Which causes your existence be possible. So, Dharma is produced. Dharma means that you are produced by the huge cause which you depend on. You depend on naturally, beyond your speculation. So, table is exist here. Okay. If you say table exists here. Means how the table is produced. We don't know how, because it depends on huge scale of the cause beyond your speculation. But we cannot see, we cannot know, but it's cause. And why this table depends on this cause, but we don't know. But automatically we depend on. There is no reason. So why I have to depend on you? Why you have to depend on me? Why I have to depend on the altar? Why I have to depend on this floor or this nature or many things? But very, very naturally, we depend on by interdepending on each other, we can exist. This is the presence of Karagiri, the presence of all of you. So if I depend on this Zendo, Zendo completely govern me. So no Karagiri, because I depend on this Zendo. So I am absorbed into this Zendo. If I depend on you, no Karagiri, because I depend on. Without you, I cannot exist. So very naturally, you come first, you appear very strongly, and my life is absorbed into your life. And on the other hand, if you depend on me, you are completely absorbed into my life. This is called interdependent co-originations. It is kind of the energy of balance. Energy of a balance. It is the energy of the balance in action. Constant action. It is energy in action. To keep your life in balance between you and us. You and nature, always. There is no chance, nothing to bring your intellectual understanding into it, because it is nothing but energy in action of balance. Just like a scale, okay? If you have a big, the suffering, and you become very heavy, okay? But on the enlightenment means power or strength to keep your life in balance as energy in action. Whatever kind of suffering, the huge suffering or small scale of suffering, whatever. The enlightenment or enlightened person or bodhisattva knows how to keep your life in balance as energy in action. It doesn't mean to escape from suffering. Bodhisattvas are always in the suffering, but not escape from. In the Diamond Sutra, if you read Diamond Sutra, it says bodhisattvas are in darkness, but never be carried away by darkness. So darkness is darkness or suffering. If you are in suffering or darkness or pain, anyway, it's become a big burden for us. And then usually we are carried away by this big burden. But actually we are bodhisattva, we are Buddha, so we have a great energy in action enough to keep your life in balance. This is called you are Buddha. It's really the source of energy you have, everyone has. So, where we are. I said, where did I say this?
You were talking about independence
and
before that,
wisdom. Or independence. Interdependence. I have been talking about Dharma. Okay? So Dharma is not the something substantial which exists forever you believe. But Dharma is nothing but emptiness, because everything is produced by interdependent co-origination. Okay? interdependent coordination means you and I is always, you know, stand up, helping each other. In Japanese, man is written with a two sticks like this. Like this. This is a man. Okay. This is a man. So, man is a being who are interdependent each other. So, more than two persons and interdependent each other. So, if you depend on me, your life is completely absorbed into my life. Do you understand? Because you depend on. So without me, you cannot exist. That time, what does it mean? You are completely absorbed into my life. If so, I should be a king or a president of the United States like this, boss? No. I am also depending on you. So, I am completely absorbed into your life. So if I see that situation in terms of me, at that time, I am person, so named Karagiri, who takes care of all of you. Because I can see you who want to depend on me. And also same apply to you. So if I see that situation in terms of me, I think no sense of object. Because your life is content on my life. Because your lives are absorbed into my life, comes into my life as a content, as a quality of my life. It doesn't mean your life is ignored. No. Is that clear? So that's why I can share my life with you. That's why I can understand deeply compassion, what the compassion is, because that compassion is not concept given by somebody else, because that compassion coming from my heart. My heart means my heart and your heart, because your heart is exactly comes into my heart. So naturally, compassion coming up, so I can share my life with you. Same apply to you. This is really kindness, friendliness, compassion. Okay? So from this point, teaching of interdependent coordination that teaches us Dharma means emptiness. Nothing to say. Because we are interdependent. Always. You cannot ignore either one of them. Always. Who is important? Karagiri is important? No. Or yes. When I say yes, I always see the world in terms of my position, my way. At that time, I have a certain position, that's why I am the important person. Because I have to take care of this. At that time, your life exactly absorbed into my heart, that's why I have to take responsibility. So, how important my existence is. So, I have to take care of my life, even though I don't like my life. Because my life is not my life. My life is your life. So, I have to live. No matter how long I scream or I cry and whatever I say, I do. Anyway, this is my life. So, Dharma is completely nothing to say. So who is important? I important, yes or no? You are important person, yes or no? That is a dualistic war. So that's why Dhamma means, Dhamma is not something substantial which exists forever without change. But it is of nothing. Nothing. But when you believe something, but it's very difficult to believe nothingness. It's very difficult to believe nothingness. That's why in the Buddhology we say Dharmakaya, Buddha's body. So Dharma becomes temporary something substantial. So called Dharmakaya. Because Buddha's body is a person who realized the Dharma, real Dharma. But actually, I don't know what the Buddha is. There is no particular Buddhas who exist forever, no. But it's very difficult to believe nothingness, to believe Buddha who realized nothingness. Because Buddha is also nothingness. Because Buddha believes or the enlightened nothingness. So what is a Buddha? I don't know. So it's very difficult. That's why in the Buddhology we say, let's believe Buddha-kaya, Dharma-kaya, we say. Temporarily, we enshrine Buddha's bodies. That is Dharma-kaya. Kaya means a body. A body means that the body means that maybe you have a doubt. How can you see the emptiness of the body? It's impossible. But temporarily, let's imagine emptiness regarded as a body. Because Buddha or ancestors anyway trust and taste it with his body and mind. So it doesn't exist, it seems not to exist, but it exists because everyone tastes it. So let's imagine that temporarily, that Dharmakaya, Dharma, which is called nothingness, as anyway something substantial. That is called Dharmakaya, we say. Okay. So the Bodhidharma says, I read a different place, I'm sorry. Bodhidharma says, self-nature is clear and obvious in the sphere of the one Dharma. In the sphere of one Dharma, not holding a dualistic view of sentient beings and Buddhas, is called the precept of refraining from abusing. Abusing means denouncing the triple treasures. Self-nature is clear and obvious. Clear and obvious means it is nothing but energy in action to keep your life, to keep all sentient beings in balance completely. But it's very clear, no obvious, no mysteries, no clarity. It's very clear. That is so-called truth or oneness. So if you want to experience that one very naturally, your body, your mind must be clear and obvious. And your body and mind should become just energy in action enough to keep your life with all sentient beings perfectly in balance. How? Forget your desire, ambitions. If you want to play football game, you have to really devote yourself into it. You have to participate in action. Then you can experience oneness or self-nature as a oneness which is clear and obvious, very clear. Then Bodhidharma says, in the sphere of the one Dhamma, this is called one Dhamma, okay? One truth, not holding a dualistic view of sentient beings and Buddhas, between the sentient being, between you and Buddhas, no dualistic sense. Okay? Even though you talk about truth, if you give a dualistic sense to people, it is not real teaching. But usually we do, always. We are talking about one Dhamma, but it's not one Dhamma. We are always talking in dualistic Dhamma. So, regardless of whether you understand or not, from the beginning to end, we have to demonstrate one Dhamma with your body, with your mind, with your word. So using the words, using your body, using your mind. Every day you have to do. This is a real teaching. Okay? Real teaching. So that's why not holding in a dualistic view of sentient beings and Buddhas is called precept of refraining from denouncing the triple treasures. So to believe triple treasure is. Anyway, you have to soak your body into one Dhamma. That's it. Before you poke your head into. That's why Dogen Zenji also comment on the same precept, refraining from denouncing the triple treasure I read already. To expound the Dhamma with this body is foremost. Its virtue returns to the ocean of reality. It is unfathomable. Just bow and serve. So all you can do is to believe, to accept, to believe the triple treasure is, anyway, without argument, anyway, you should accept and respect and serve it. That is your way. That is a practice of Buddhist teaching. Maybe you don't like this way, because you like very much arguing. But I think while you are arguing, it's very difficult to know real spirit of your life with all sentient beings. Because while you are arguing, there is always the self comes first. Self comes first constantly. I don't mean you should keep your mouth shut always. That's fine. But if you want to see something with your intellectual sense, I think you should see the world in terms of you and the next. You should forget yourself first. And then you should see yourself from others, from the world. That time you can really understand who you are. That's why Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva always requested from the human world to listen to observe the sound of the human world. That means the world requires Avalokiteshvara to observe the sound of the world, the sound of the Avalokiteshvara. That's why in turn, the term Avalokiteshvara has two meanings, passive form and positive form. Passive form means Avalokiteshvara is seen by the world. Avalokiteshvara is seen from the world, but simultaneously world is seen from Avalokiteshvara. So vice versa. Interdependent co-origination. So when you see the Avalokiteshvara, who is Avalokiteshvara? Avalokiteshvara is image. Avalokiteshvara is a being who exists in one of you? Yes. But simultaneously, no. Because if you see Avalokiteshvara, Avalokiteshvara immediately sees you. So, when Avalokiteshvara sees you, you are not there. Because you are absorbed into, you are come into Avalokiteshvara's heart. So who is Avalokiteshvara? You are Avalokiteshvara. Because when you see Avalokiteshvara, Avalokiteshvara comes into your heart. So no fame of Avalokiteshvara. So where is Avalokiteshvara? Here. With you. So you are Avalokiteshvara. I think this is interdependent co-origination because it is nothing but energy in action. Enough to keep you and Avalokiteshvara perfectly in balance. That is symbol of compassion. That's why if you read the koan, I think about Avalokiteshvara. Avalokiteshvara is just like the man's arm bending and stretching like this. Or he says, Avalokiteshvara is a kind of groping for the pillows at night. Behind you. Okay. Is that clear? Something like this. So pillow, you don't know where the pillow is. So your hands are behind. And then at night, and then you're groping for the pillow. But the pillow is there. But you don't know where it is. But your hands is moving. So a thousand hands are moving like this. So pillow is there. What makes your hands move? Because pillow makes your hand move. What makes your hand move? Darkness makes your hand move. Not you. But on the other hand, you move. Your will makes your hand move. So there is really nothing but energy in action enough to keep all sentient beings in balance. Among the pillows, and you, and the arms, darkness, all sentient beings are moving. Anyway, someday, somewhere, you touch it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. This is the Dharma, true picture of the Dharma. That is called teaching of interdependent co-origination. Then if you want to represent it as a Buddha, that is called Avalokiteshvara. So Avalokiteshvara is nothing but the energy in action enough to keep all sentient beings' life perfectly in balance. What is it? Just a movie. So just moving means in the realm of energy in action enough to keep all sentient beings' life in balance. I think you just keep going. If you see the heavy burden of the suffering, it's not fine, but anyway, take it, accept it, and just keep going. If you scream, you can scream, that's fine. But put it there and keep going. And then next, the you can see the less suffering, that's fine. Keep going. Don't stay with it. Next, you can see the freedom from the suffering, that's fine. Don't stay with it. Keep going. Because this is a Dharma. This is a human nature. So, Dhamma means that the great teaching, Dhamma means a great teaching to let you go on with your story, constantly. And then, suffering is sometimes no longer suffering. Suffering is not big burden. You can accept it. But sometimes you cannot accept it. So you can scream, you can cry, but don't stay with it. Please keep going. But usually, if you see the suffering, you want to scream and cry, and you want to stay. But you don't want to stay, actually. But you are completely despaired, disappointed, because you can see the suffering. But suffering itself is nothing but the Dharma. So Dhamma is take care of you. So all you can do is, you don't like a suffering or you like a suffering, it doesn't matter. Because suffering is a Dhamma. Suffering a Dhamma means suffering is nothing but just the process of existence. That's it, in action. Existence in action. That's it. This is a suffering, actually. Pleasure? It is. Pain, feelings, all things, enlightenment, delusions, all things, something like that. So all you can do is, anyway, accept and serve it. In the realm of one truth. Not in the realm of your desire. In the realm of satisfaction of your desire. Usually we deal with all suffering in the realm of, in the sphere of satisfaction of your desire, individual desire. That's it. That's why constantly something happens. So, you cannot escape from your own desire. That's why you have to see something different, which is bigger scale. That is in the sphere of one Dharma, one truth. Then, deal with the suffering, your life, which means that you go on with your story. That's all you can do. This is called middle way. Practically speaking, it is called let go of, letting go of, and hold it, holding on. Let it go. Holding on. Let it go. Holding on means you can experience. You cannot escape anything. So, you cannot escape anything means you holding on. But don't escape it. So deal with it. Accept and serve it. Then that is called letting go. So that is meaning of the oneness or the truth that all sentient beings are Buddha. Okay. So So if you want to see the moon, I think you have to learn, you have to learn this oneness and the truth which all beings are Buddha, through the moon. Don't understand the moon sentimentally or romantically, of course it is all right. But if you want to be if you want to learn spiritual life, I think you should learn something more than romantic and dualistic and scientific views through the moon. Something more than that. You have to learn what the oneness is, what the truth is, what the Dharma is. That is the point Dogen Zenji mentions here. That's why first paragraph, Dogen Zenji mentions the moon is completely different beyond your speculation, which you have believed for long. So, first sentence make you surprised. Completely your surprise at hearing this statement. The many moons there. Okay? Many moons, what makes many moons to be possible? What is an energy? That is nothing but energy in actions. Enough to keep all sentient beings balanced. Many moons. Crescent, half moons, and new moons, full moons. All moons to complete in balance.